This, I say, is like a barometer of what's going on in Israel. If you look for the Passover and you find the porch full of unclean junk and you find Ahaz living like a scoundrel and leading the nation that way, you know what's going on. There's something desperately wrong. When Hezekiah got right before the Lord and called the people to this celebration, they cleaned out the old and they brought in the new. And I come to my New Testament and he said, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Now celebrate the feast, not with malice and bitterness, and no, with sincerity and truth.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, On the West Bank, and we invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he may return to those of you who escaped and are left from the stuff the Assyrians had already brought in. This is a turnaround. Return. Verse 8 or 7, don't be like your fathers. Oh, I know this is not politically correct, they said. We're not going to do like we've been doing. Come back, return. Verse 8, don't stiffen your neck like your fathers, but yield to Yahweh, the one and only true God, and enter his sanctuary, which he's consecrated forever, and serve the Lord your God, that his burning anger may turn away from you. Yield, serve, repent, return. For if you return, verse 9, to the Lord, your brothers and your sons will find compassion before those who led them captive and will return to the land. God will bring healing. He'll bring back some of the captives even. For the Lord your God is gracious and compassionate and will not turn his face away from you if you return to him. I read in the book of James, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. We proclaim it every Sunday, don't we? Turn back to the Lord. Focus on him. Well, the couriers, verse 10, passed from city to city through the country of Ephraim and Manasseh and as far as Zebulun. They went everywhere. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Don't think when you make a stand for God, even if you're King Hezekiah, that it'll go easy. Particularly when unbelief and immorality and neglect of anything holy has been rooted in the fabric of the culture. They laughed them to scorn. Nevertheless, verse 11, some men of Asher, Manasseh, and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. The hand of God was also on Judah to give them one heart to do what the king and the princes commanded by the word of the Lord. Oh, circle that verse. The hand of God was on them to give them a heart. God is after the heart. And the hand of God was on their heart to give them a heart to do, notice, the humanly mediated word of the Lord. To do what the kings and princes told them. We're going to celebrate the Passover. You say, well, they're just obeying Hezekiah. No, they're obeying the word of the Lord mediated through the human leader. Verse 15, then they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th of the second month. And the priests and the Levites were ashamed of themselves and consecrated themselves and brought burnt offerings to the house of the Lord. They did it on February instead of January, you know. And they were kind of ashamed of themselves and they thought about the history of all this. And a multitude, verse 18, of the people, even many from Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not purified themselves, yet they ate the Passover, otherwise than prescribed. For Hezekiah prayed for them, watch this, saying, may the good Lord pardon everyone who prepares his heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers, though not according to the purification rules of the sanctuary. They hadn't been able to do it in the first month like they were told to. They didn't have enough priests consecrated. This thing came about suddenly, but Hezekiah went before the Lord and he said, oh Lord, pardon us. If our heart is right, pardon us. God, you see, is never after just the picky little detail. He's after the heart. And Hezekiah knew this isn't something to take lightly, but he said, oh, Lord, pardon us. We didn't have enough consecrated, but we're coming to you. And if our heart is right, please accept this. And the Lord heard Hezekiah, verse 20, and healed the people. You know, every time you come around the Lord's table, don't you come that way? We don't really feel. What went on this morning at your house? What's going on in your heart right now? We come and we say, oh, we come and we plead your grace, Lord. We plead your grace. Please pardon, good Lord. Because we know we don't come with perfect hearts. We come to celebrate a perfect sacrifice. Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. That's which one of us doesn't pray that way, and shouldn't we? Don't ever start to pray like, okay, I've got my life all in order now. No, pray like Hezekiah prayed. Well, the Lord heard, and they celebrated. I'll tell you, verse 21, the sons of Israel present in Jerusalem celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days with great joy, and the Levites praised the Lord day after day with loud instruments, electric guitars. They celebrated with joy and loud instruments. It's there to the Lord. Then Hezekiah spoke encouragingly. Hezekiah encouraged all the Levites who showed good insight in the things of God. They ate to the appointed days. Then the whole assembly, verse 23, decided to celebrate the feast another 7 days. There was rejoicing in the assembly, verse 25. Verse 26, there was great joy in Jerusalem because there was nothing like this in Jerusalem since the days of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. This was some Passover. Nothing since Solomon. They celebrated with joy. Then the Levitical priests arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. Oh, the Holy Spirit wrote this down for our instruction. Get your heart right. Come before me. Well, then what? Well, they continued to repent. Verse 1. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel who were present went out to the cities of Judah, broke the pillars in pieces, cut down the asherim, pulled down the high places and the altars throughout all Judah and Benjamin, as well as in Ephraim and Manasseh, until they had destroyed them all. Then all the sons of Israel returned to their cities, each to his possession. There was still things to clean out. You come around the Lord's table and you go home and you say, I still have some things that need dealing with. And you continue to seek him daily, and he'll continue to show you things to get rid of and devote yourself to him. And Hezekiah said, we need to put this in the budget, verse 2. Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests, the Levites, each according to his service, for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister, to give praise and thanks. And he also appointed, verse 3, the king's portion of his goods to support this. Namely, for the morning and evening burnt offerings, and the burnt offerings for the Sabbaths, for the new moons, and for the fixed festivals, as it is written in the law of the Lord. This is a major budget item. This is what we're all about, he said. And then he said, he commanded the people, verse 4, who lived in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might devote themselves to the law of the Lord. You guys, he said, he commanded the people, I'm giving, you should give. Verse 5, and as soon as the order spread, the sons of Israel provided in abundance, the first fruits of grain, new wine, oil, honey, and all the produce of the field, and they brought abundantly the tithe of all. As soon as he said that, there was heart repentance, and they came and they gave abundantly. And verse 6, the sons of Israel and Judah who lived in the cities of Judah also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep and the tithe of sacred gifts, which were consecrated to the Lord their God. Everything, every phase of life, they gave over to him. And notice, they placed all this stuff in heaps. In the third month, verse 7, they began to make the heaps and finished them by the seventh month. They started in March, and by July, they had heaps for 4 months they were laying up this stuff in heaps. When Hezekiah and the rulers came and saw the heaps, they said, oh, this is ridiculous. Stop it. No. They blessed the Lord and his people Israel. Generous giving honors God. And Hezekiah, when he saw it, he said, praise God. He blessed the Lord and he blessed his people. And then he questioned the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, said to him, since the contributions began to be brought into the house of the Lord, we've had enough to eat with plenty left over. The Lord's work wasn't being squelched now. For the Lord has blessed his people and this great quantity is left over. What'd they do? Well, we should have a rebate. No. The Lord, then Hezekiah, verse 11, commanded them to prepare rooms in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them, and they faithfully brought in to the contributions and the tithes and the consecrated things. They built rooms in the house of the Lord for it. You see, it's not even bad for God's work to have a savings account. They brought these heaps in, and it was evidence of the repentance that had happened. There were poor people in Israel at the time. They were hurting. The economy was rough, but they gave. As they repented and returned and sought the Lord, they devoted themselves to the Lord by heaping for months. And it was a blessing to the Lord and to Israel. In fact, look at the summary of this great Passover revival. Verse 20, thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah. Verse 20. And he did what was good, right, and true before the Lord his God. And every work which he began in the service of the house of God, in law and in commandment, seeking his God, he did with all his heart. And he prospered. This, I say, is like a barometer of what's going on in Israel. If you look for the Passover and you find the porch full of unclean junk and you find Ahaz living like a scoundrel and leading the nation that way, you know what's going on. There's something desperately wrong. When Hezekiah got right before the Lord and called the people to this celebration, they cleaned out the old and they brought in the new. And I come to my New Testament and he said, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed. Now celebrate the feast, not with malice and bitterness, and no, with sincerity and truth. Now let's turn to the New Testament in preparation for this table. Luke 22. Luke 22. Keep it fresh in your mind. Verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover. Like I say, this was a season. The days of unleavened bread that led to the Passover. It was approaching. And you know the story. I'll skip down to verse 14. When the hour had come, he, Jesus Christ, reclined at table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I've earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I become the Passover lamb, before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And having taken a cup, when he'd given thanks, he said, take this and share it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes. And having taken some bread, when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Can I just draw the analogy that it seems to me the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to miss? Neglect Christ. Do this in remembrance of me. Neglect Christ, and your life, even Christians, especially Christians, our temple, the house of the Lord where he dwells, will get filled with chaos and busyness and stuff and wickedness, and it'll soon need a forklift. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just celebrate it but not even know what it is. And when you, no. But keep your heart fresh for Christ. And we saw when Hezekiah turned them back, when they turned back to the Lord, when they celebrated the Passover in sincerity and truth, there was joy. There was great rejoicing. There was wonderful times of worship, loud worship and joyous worship. There was much giving. The work of God was abundantly supplied for because God's people's hearts were right. And when you make much of Christ, that's what happens in your life. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, verse 20, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood." Where Jesus Christ is proclaimed, his cross and his blood is proclaimed. You cannot separate the two. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood. Christ made peace, not by coming down here and showing us a nicer way to live, and we ought to just all be nice to each other and try to be more like Jesus. That's not the gospel. Christ made peace through the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20. Therefore, having been justified by his blood, Romans 5:9, we exalt him. In him we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins. We're a bloody religion, we Christians. We celebrate that the wages of sin is death, and God himself sent his son to the cross. We were far away from God, Ephesians 2:13. Now we've been brought near by the blood of Christ. Wherever Christ is proclaimed, his cross must be proclaimed. And when we neglect this, when we go our own way and say that's a little bit too much for us, and today's world we don't like that stuff, you watch what happens in the life of the church, in the life of the individual congregants. The chaos and the garbage and the neglect of the things of God, and pretty soon we're too busy. We don't want to do a midweek thing. We got too much going with our stuff. And pretty soon we just start to neglect the very core of what we're all about. Worship and celebrating the table and rejoicing. Wasn't it a joy last week to rejoice with those who were confessing the Lord through baptism? Oh, there's something about it. When your heart is right, you love to be. When Christ is proclaimed, we love to be there. "This is my blood," he said. "This is my blood." Where Jesus Christ and him crucified is proclaimed, where he is celebrated in our individual hearts, there is joy, there's rejoicing, there's words of encouragement. And where he is not, you know, there will be giving. There will be joyous giving. There will be abundant giving. God's work goes forward when God's people's hearts are right. Turn to Hebrews 10 in closing. Hebrews 10. And I don't want to make this too strong of an application, but I can't help but bring it to our attention. Because where do you learn about the cross? Where do you learn about Passover? Where do you learn about the blood? You say, well, in the Bible. Yes, yes, I know. But we live in an individualistic age that says, I just like God, and I don't like God's people, and I don't like organized religion. I have my beliefs about God, and I like to do my own thing. And I'm telling you, that's not healthy Christianity. Where Yahweh is celebrated, the Passover will be celebrated in big numbers, you know? And where Jesus Christ is Lord of my life, I'll be here. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because you're here. But I'm telling you, don't forget how important it is to be here and to be celebratory on the very things of God and to make him the centerpiece. And so he says in Hebrews 10, and we often quote it as maybe one of the only verses I think we think. Verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling together. Oh yeah, that one. You know, but that's the core of Hebrews. I've been teaching Hebrews, and that's the final exhortation of the whole superiority of Jesus Christ, is that we can come in through his blood into his very presence, and we can encourage one another and stimulate one another, verse 24, to love and good deeds. Don't forsake your assembling together, as a lot of people do, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Period. All the more as we see that Christ is about coming. The day is drawing near. Now, we stop there. I'm going to just suggest to you that one of the most fearsome warnings of apostasy in all of Scripture is the next verse and following. And you show me an apostate, and I'll show you one who once hung around with Christians and gradually has moved away. And you say, well, he can't lose his salvation. No, if he's saved, he can't, but his kids can. And who knows if he's saved? As you see him forsake the assembling of himself together. And Hebrews comes right on the tail of that with saying, oh, stay fervent to gather together, to come around the table. And so take this seriously. Don't take it lightly. We need to pray, oh, Lord, give us Hezekiah-like hearts. Give us Pauline-like hearts. Paul said, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of Jesus Christ. I didn't want to know anything among you except Christ and Him crucified. Remember Jesus Christ, Timothy, risen from the dead. Give us that kind of a heart as we come around this table today and every day as we seek to celebrate our Passover. Christ Himself, who died and rose again on our behalf. Father, I thank you that in the midst of the ups and downs of life, and in a culture turns far away from you, you, by your grace, with your good hand, touched Hezekiah. And then you touched a whole nation through him and put it on their hearts to do what you had said. Mediated to them through human vessels. And we rejoice in these revivals that we read of, Lord. And we see the connection. And we don't want to merely see it as an ancient, interesting history lesson. But Lord, as we come around this table that you told us, I've given you two things to do. You gave us this table, and you gave us the thrill of identifying with you publicly through baptism. And Lord, we know there's much more. The Christian life is a life lived in communion with you. But we thank you for these special times, and we pray that as we gather around this table, that you would prepare our hearts right now, and that we would honor and glorify you, not just in the ritual. We know that can become tradition and perfunctory, but rather in the reality of our hearts. May we celebrate Christ our Passover. Amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled On the West Bank, a message from chapter 5 of the book of Joshua. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. On the front page of our website, you'll see a link to the Romans Project. We are very excited about the work God is doing through this ministry. We extend an invitation for you to learn more about it. Now with nearly 14,000 pastors involved throughout 19 countries, including Liberia, Sierra Leone, Myanmar, and the Philippines, we've seen tremendous growth since the project's inception in 2005. To learn more, navigate to downtownbible.org or connect with us at facebook.com/Romans Project. Scott Gilchrist also leads a weekly Bible study in Portland, which shares the name of this radio program, Downtown Bible Class. 150 to 250 people meet every Wednesday at the Portland Art Museum for great teaching and a complimentary lunch buffet. A perfect break in the work week and an informal atmosphere where you can bring friends or coworkers and make new connections. Join us from 12:15 to 12:45 every Wednesday. Check us out at downtownbible.org for more information or call us at 503-524-7000. Now, while it's our joy to present this radio program and the resources on our website completely free of charge, we do want to remind you there's a significant cost associated with this ministry. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider supporting us financially. It's through the generous contributions of our listeners that we're able to continue broadcasting on this station. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
they'd heard. We know the king said, hey, are you got those spies with you, Rahab? But they didn't repent. We saw that. And it's very possible to be afraid of God, but not have the fear of the Lord. And history's going to close that way, isn't it? Men gnawing on their tongues because of God's judgment, but refusing to repent. And you know people like maybe you. You're afraid. What if God really is Yahweh? Just like we talked about it when we were there. What if this really is true? But you haven't repented. You've stiffened your neck. Don't do it any longer. Don't do it any longer.
Join us again next time as we continue our study of the life of Joshua. Pastor Scott brings the message, The Battle of Jericho. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.